Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Deutschland Couch Show. We're just going to jump right into it. So let's get things kicked off.
Listen, when you can, I'm going to start off with a little thing here. I'm just going to speak for a few minutes. Just kind of the culmination of some things that have occurred over the last few weeks. So here we go. In 2010, Inter Milan made the Champions League final in a very dramatic way. It wasn't the beginning of Jose Mourinho becoming the special one, but it is something that elevated him to an even higher status. After doing what he did with Porto, the special one came renowned when he came at Chelsea, and at Inter, he became something different. He became the one of the greatest managers of all time. He did that on the back of an Argentine by the name of Diego Milito. All the odds, against arguably the greatest team ever assembled, a team coached by none other than Pep Guardiola that featured the likes of Lionel Messi, Iniesta, Xavi, Samuel Eto'o, and Ronaldinho. I'm not sure about the Ronaldinho part, but I believe so. He comes up in this come to football moment where Milito comes into play, scores the goal that gets them into the final, while dispatching arguably one of the best teams of our time, if not the best. That era of Barcelona, with what Pep had done there and with the players he had there, elevated them to this incredible status. They go to the final, and again, the same Argentine, Diego Milito, comes up with the big moment, and Inter become the winners of the Champions League. Now we find ourselves in a very similar situation with a different Argentine. An Argentine that has been incredibly harshly done by and criticized by the Italian media, by the world media, taking the blame of what is the problems that exist around him. Now we all know Lautaro Martinez is not the problem at Inter Milan, nor has he really contributed to the problem. But he has had to take that responsibility on because whether or not he wears a armband or not, he is the captain of the ship, and he has to lead this team on. As we've discussed in previous years, he has always been the key component to Inter Milan's success, and he is the sole thing standing in the way of failure. When Inter Milan flamed out last season, he did his part with his contributions, and unfortunately his teammates could not come through and deliver in the way that he needed. This season, the amount of times that Inter Milan have had a really horrible, at least season in many aspects, now it seems that Inter are free of the worries of not qualifying for the Champions League. But once again, the points that they've received, not just in recent weeks, but throughout this season, points that were not victories, but that got them out of jail. Lautaro Martinez was there. When stuff hits the fan, he is always the one that they talk to. He's always the one they turn to. But there's never a dull moment where he feels as if that he is deflecting the moment to somebody else. Lautaro Martinez is the epitome of the captain of the ship. Regardless of what happens in the Champions League final, regardless of what happens at the end of the season, regardless of anything, we have to realize and recognize why they've gotten here. Now, the critics will say that the Inter Milan's pathway to the final wasn't the most difficult, and they're fortunate to be on the side of the bracket that they were. But again, much like Napoli not having any true challenger in the title race, that is not the fault of Inter, and it's not the fault of Lautaro Martinez. A player that sometimes people don't understand of what they don't see. Missed chances happen all the time, but for some reason, when it's coming off his foot, he's the bad guy. He's the enemy. He's the scapegoat for everything that happens wrong. With that responsibility, he understands that being the captain of the ship means you have the responsibility of everybody. Now, in every moment, there's a time or a place where he's going to be, he's going to take the brunt of the criticism, and he'll do it without even asking. He just knows to do it. Now, with Handanovic no longer having the armband, with Skriniar getting the armband taken, Lautaro Martinez is the only logical reason or explanation for who should wear it. Goes into a semifinal. Obviously, Inter have had AC Milan's number, but you have to remember, in all these matchups, there's one common denominator, Lautaro Martinez. And throw out the first game, Super Cup in Saudi Arabia, who has the man of the match performance? Lautaro Martinez. In the third most recent derby, who had the goal that put AC Milan on panic alert? Lautaro Martinez. And who's the one who killed the semifinal? Who's the one who came to play? Who's the one that stepped up when they needed it? Lautaro Martinez. While that goal may certainly feel like just a consolation at that point, it was a moment that put them, Inter Milan, in a Champions League final. Fast forward, 2010, and Argentine gets them to the final, and rewind and fast forward to now, he's there again. Now, the challenge that awaited Inter Milan in Barcelona in that semifinal may be as difficult or more difficult than what they're about to face. The Man City team that they will come across in Turkey in a few weeks' time is as ferocious as can be imagined. In 2010, you had a guy who was on the verge of becoming the greatest to ever do it in Lionel Messi, coached by one of the greatest managers, up-and-coming managers at that time, Pep Guardiola. Now you look here, you have a Erling Haaland, looking to be one of the best strikers of our time, and still with the same man, Pep Guardiola. While the challenge that awaits them is dangerous, and everybody will count them out, if you get the best version of this team, they may have a shot, even if it's a small one. But whether they win or lose this final, Lautaro Martinez is the reason they're here, and in the unlikelihood that they are champions again, he will be the reason they win. All right, you can just move this talk about, or you can react to what I just said, or we can just whatever. I just wanted to do that.
I actually 100% agree with you with everything you just said, because literally Lautaro Martinez, every time something has gone wrong, he's the one confronting the media saying, hey, we didn't have the best match. And some of it was, and then he takes the blame, even though we really shouldn't have, because it is a team effort at that point. But he's right there addressing the media, talking about the bad. And then when they celebrate, he's talking about like what things that actually went right in that particular matchup. And he literally did help us get into this final. And by the way, I am savoring every minute right now. And I actually am still going to start tearing up a little bit, because literally to me yesterday, it was more of sort of like shock, and like just being in the final is like, is this even real? I told my Inter Milan group chat on Instagram, like, can someone pinch me? This doesn't seem real. And they're like, no, it's real. But now it's really hitting me. And if it wasn't for Martinez, we wouldn't have even gotten this far. And he has just been one of the key pillars that this Inter team has needed. And obviously, Handanovic no longer has the captaincy. Skriniar is on his way out this at the end of the season to PSG. So he's gone off the captaincy. There is no other player on this team that deserves the armband more than him. And because he does it all. He's being the leader. He's being vocal with the team. He's assisting chances. He's scoring goals of his own. Sometimes he is even setting up the counterattacks on a defensive move. And he's the one that when the push comes to shove, he'll talk to the media at the end of every single game saying what happened, whether it was good or bad, and he takes the blame, even though he shouldn't have to take the blame for every single thing. So I 100% agree with you with everything you just said, because without him, this team would fall dramatically.
You could have maybe still made the final. I mean, my big point there was just about the narrative surrounding him and the bad season that it looked like you were having at one point. He was the brunt of it. And again, that same reason, you know, every time Kula Muane for Frankfurt has a bad game, he's crushed because he didn't score in the World Cup final in that last chance in stoppage time. And for the same reason, Martinez missed that chance against Australia and missed a chance to win it in extra time. Obviously, they go on to win the World Cup anyways. But regardless, because of those two moments, every time something goes wrong with Inter, if they don't win a game, if they don't play well, it's on his back. And this is why being the captain of the ship, so to speak, is a big symbolic a thing to have, because he understands it. Now, there are guys who wear the armband who do not understand it, because Inter is a very precarious situation, because we see how good they can be, but since over the last couple of years, they've not been able to live up for it. You know what I mean? Because let's be honest, if Inter were at their peak this season, Napoli would have choked this league away so fast, you know? And they'd be, instead of having a parade, they would be having a parade of getting Spalletti out. You know what I mean? So because of how – that's the difficulty of being in that role, because regardless of what happens, whether you win or lose, it's your responsibility. And the being captain of the ship is having the responsibility for keeping it afloat, but also taking responsibility for other things that go wrong. And again, he's not had a perfect season. His numbers are good, but he's had moments. He has had games where he hasn't shown up to it. Obviously, what awaits you. And I think it's amazing that you got to a Champions League final. I think it's beautiful that you get to witness this. I probably never will. So just being in that final is really important, but there's also a huge challenge ahead. And it's as emotional as this moment is for Serie A and Italy. There is a challenge there that is, there's no room for error. You make one mistake, it'd be over. You know what I mean? But yeah. I don't consign the fact that you guys are just going to get just ripped. Sorry about that. But there is a very there. I understand why a lot of people think that Man City are going to win this. Obviously, there's good reasons for that. Man City have not proven that they're capable of winning the Champions League. This is a easier matchup than maybe they would have gotten if it was if someone else was sitting on the other side. But I'm not holding the belief that there's not a way for Inter to win. At their absolute best, they can beat them. They need to be at their absolute best to do that, and they need to play a certain way. And it can happen. But obviously the challenge that is sitting in front of you is as tough as it's going to get. That's why I kind of likened it to 2010. The actual Champions League final, the big thing about the underdog story of Inter was Jose Mourinho winning with Inter. It wasn't the fact that they beat Bayern Munich in the final. That Bayern Munich won the league, but it wasn't a overly dominant Bayern Munich. They only won the league by 5 points. Robin played, but Ribery was out. The context of the Bayern squad wasn't as dangerous. It was the beating Barcelona that was like the moment for Inter. That's why that underdog story had so much life in it, but it wasn't so much winning the final. So again, this is I kind of feel like this is Inter Barcelona 2010 in the semifinal rather than actually being the final, because I think I think the Bayern side that you guys faced in 2010 isn't even half as dominant and dangerous as this Man City side. So it's going to be on that, but I just don't, I don't believe, I don't have the belief that they got, you got no shot, because obviously there's a chance, because we've seen you at your best maybe seven times this season, which is pathetic, but also we've seen the height of Inter, and the high at Inter can handle that sort of team on one game. Now, if this is over two legs, you're getting squashed. But in a one-off, you got a chance here, and so on. And as much as you and everybody been bragging on Inzaghi this season, he's been brilliant in Europe, got you to a Champions League final. And even though he wasn't in the title race, he got there. He got you guys in a position where you're still making the Champions League, even if you don't win this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's certain, obviously I'm in two Inter Milan group chats, one on Instagram and one on WhatsApp. The one on Instagram, it seems to be a little bit more, way more optimistic. Like, we have a chance. Like, if we're performing at our absolute best, we have a chance. But if we show up and we're the terrible Inter, then we're getting crushed six ways from Sunday. But long as we show up and we're the good Inter show up, we 100% have a chance in this thing. I mean, our Lukaku and Martinez, who will probably most likely be the ones starting, if they're on a good day, they are unstoppable, and we can match up with the attack of Man City on that one. Same with midfield.
I actually think Dzeko will start. He's played for Man City before. He knows the Premier League. Obviously, it's been several years since he's been there. But I think Lukaku is a better luxury item off the bench than Dzeko is, because he's more physically demanding and he's quicker. So I actually think probably Dzeko starts, but it could be the other way around. But anyway, continue with what you were saying.
I mean, even with, like, our midfield, if our midfield could also go toe-to-toe with Man City's midfield, because the quality in that area is pretty similar. The only issue is the defense. Acerbi and some of these
start the final. You think that dude's going to be able to handle Erling Haaland? No. he's a good defender, but he's too slow. You need, again, I know you all hate him now, but Skriniar needs to start. I don't care what anybody says. And you need Bastoni will be there. And then obviously I think DeMarco on one side, and I would say Darmian on the other. But yeah, the midfield thing, I kind of get what you're saying. I wouldn't say you can go toe to toe, but you have something you can push forward. Obviously, Burrell is amazing, and obviously one of my favorite midfielders, who has not been so hot-headed this season, which is a good thing. But they got Kevin De Bruyne, and that name alone makes it difficult. And a bunch of other – I mean, Jack Grealish. I mean, Bernardo Silva, who scored twice today. I mean, they got – their midfield is definitely better than yours, no question about it. But your midfield is good enough to be able to handle a game like this, again, on a one-off. Specifically with Barella and Chinalahu, and I know that Brozovic and Mkhitaryan can add value, but I think that's kind of the midfield you're going to want to kind of approach and go at. And, anyway.
But, yeah, like I said, pretty much one of the key areas at this point would be our on again, off again defense. That is the only thing. But long as the defense shows up and does what they need to do that day, like I said, there should be no reason we can't put up a good game against Man City. It'll be tough, but we have the pieces that can 100% go the distance when it's needed.
Yeah, I think you got a chance. And I'm not, again, like I said, I'm not under the belief that you're going to get squashed or that there's not a chance, but I still think it's probably a very, not very, it is a fairly small chance considering what that Man City team has done and things like that. I mean, you can be in first place for more times than any club has ever been on top of the table and still not win the title because it's Man City. Again, I don't mean to throw another shot at Arsenal, but the fact of the matter is Arsenal has spent more, the most time ever in first place, and they're not going to win the league. So it's so difficult trying to deal with them because Inter have a – this is how I view it, and I want you to get your take on this. Inter have an extremely strong starting 11. They have a few pieces off the bench that can add value. But Man City has a great starting 11 and a great bench. And I think that's kind of a difficult thing to handle. And again, I'm also slightly concerned with the age of your squad. Now you have some great players, but you also have players that are in their 30s. And like, for example, Dzeko's like 37, which is weird to me because I feel like he's been 36 for like the last 10 years. But it just feels like he's been the same age the whole time. He's been 36, 37 since 2011 or since he's been at Roma. Cause I don't remember him at Roma as a young player. I always thought of him as a veteran, older guy. But again, it's just like what they can bring off the bench defensively, midfield attack. Especially like Julian Alvarez coming off the bench and doing what he's done so often this season. You got, again, Dzeko is probably the most underrated striker in the last 10 years. You have Lautaro Martinez, one of the best attackers in the world. And you have Lukaku, who's in the form of his life at the moment. So those are good options. But when you look at City, they can bring on someone like Alvarez in for Haaland. And then you have obviously the wide players that they can bring up as well. Like Mahrez didn't start today. So those type of players are going to be really difficult to try to deal with. But it's just a difficult scenario. Because on the one hand, if you are perfect and don't make mistakes, I think you can beat them. But it's difficult because I think you almost have to be flawless. So, for example, and I just want to see what you think about it. If you play the way you did in the second leg yesterday, if you play like that in the final, what do you think happens?
We get crushed.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Even the first leg performance, probably you lose a narrow one. You know what I mean? What you need is AC Milan, Inter, and Saudi Arabia. That's the performance you need. Even the performance, actually, you beat us in Rome. You guys weren't that good that day. We just half our team was injured, couldn't do anything. So you need to be, I don't know, you kind of need to have that energy that you had in that game against City. It's difficult, but I just think you have a chance because if you can get Barella and Lautaro to connect when Man City are, because Man City are going to press you high. So if you can, on like a corner, and this is the reason why I thought AC Milan didn't have a chance back in the game. But if you can get Barella to get it to Lukaku too, but if you can get the ball, if you can get it from Cialanoglu, Barella to Lautaro on a break when Man City are pressing forward, you can get something here. But it's still a very difficult scenario. I can't even imagine trying to go up against Man City. It's a scary thought, but hopefully, but on the one hand, obviously they don't have a great history in this, in terms of winning these type of trophies. But again, it looks like a difficult one, but you're there, you got a shot. I mean, it's one game. You don't have to play them next week. You just got to beat them once. And if you can beat Barcelona in 2010, then you got a shot here. But again, you don't have Mourinho now. The Mourinho now isn't the Mourinho from 2010. The question is, can Inzaghi – he's going to get out-coached. I think we all know that. But can he put enough put forward and bet a good enough game plan where he doesn't embarrass himself from a tactical perspective and things like that? But anyway.
So on June 10th, everybody shut up, first of all. Number two, give me my alcohol or weed. And number three, give me my snacks. And last but not least, someone put the medics on standby. But for now, I'm just taking in every little minute of this. But like I said, it's going to be tough, but we do have a chance. And long as we do what we need to do. But right now, one step at a time.
Yeah, real quick on that. Obviously, you know what you need to do. I mean, it's an unfortunate thing to ask of your team. Be perfect. Don't make a mistake. One mistake and it's over. That's the way it feels like for me. But as far as we know what Man City, we know how good Man City is. We know how great they are. You know how amazing they can be. Other than the obvious, what's the game plan from Inter's perspective as far as what from Man City, what's the game plan in terms of limiting what they can do? Because obviously, well, Real Madrid figured it out in that first leg with Camavinga. By the way, we got to talk about Camavinga playing left back. Never played left back in his life and dropped a masterclass in the first leg. Obviously, they got crushed today. But that was kind of the way they did. They put Rudiger on Haaland. And again, you don't have a Rudiger. So they were able to limit them. How are Inter going to do the same thing?
Well, first I was thinking of teleporting, doing like a Doctor Strange situation and bringing some X-Lax and lacing their food with it, so at least the key players, but that is not feasible and realistic. But, I mean, to try to lock down like Haaland and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
that's not happening.
That ain't happening.
So you got to I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you kind of got to look big picture. What is the thing we can do let's just get the obvious out of the way. De Bruyne is not going to be shut down. At least not with the personnel you have. And again, nothing against your personnel, the best team top to bottom in Italy. But again, there's levels to this and you're not going to stop Haaland. But there are ways that you can slow them down. So again, where do you see that other than the obvious Haaland and De Bruyne aren't going to be stopped?
I mean, the only thing is you could probably try this. I mean, De Bruyne will be that loose cannon that, but I mean, the rest of the midfield, if you could slow them down just a little bit, I think we would have a chance because so obviously Jack Grealish is a great player, but he does have his moments where he's not at top performance. So if you're somehow able to isolate or like slow down the rest of the midfield, it will limit their chances. And then when we get a defensive opportunity to break away on a strong counterattack, we really need to be just going firing on all cylinders in that area, taking all of our chances and being very, I would say, calculated, so that way we find the back of the net instead of like making these wide left and wide right and over the crossbar situations, like being really meticulous with our movements and stuff on the counters. But like I said, the only real thing to kind of slow them down, it would be to try to slow down the rest of the midfield as much as you could possibly can, because and same with whatever attackers you can get. Try to slow the remaining attack down as much as possible. Slow those areas down. Then it becomes a little bit more harder for Man City to get those opportunities. And then, of course, obviously we need to do what we need to do on the counterattacks and during our attack situations. So I think that's the only way we can kind of like slow them down a little bit.
What do you think about trying to cut off, again, not actually their legs, but cut off the legs of the passes? Because De Bruyne's going to – his passes are practically going to get through, and that's going to be a problem. But if you can – I don't know how to explain it. But if you can cut off the legs of the passing lanes that City are going to go to, if you can clog those areas, I think that could be effective. The problem is this is why I'm having a hard time thinking about – your a path to success only be outside of Lautaro Martinez just goes God mode. It's because you don't have the type of defenders that have given Haaland problems. Because you look at Rudiger, physical beast, right? You look at some of the other ones. Not everyone who's slowed Haaland down are really physical. There are some that are just extremely intelligent and are good at tracking where the spaces are. Now, you don't have that either. Stoney is he can close down space, and he's probably the quickest of what you have back there. But it's still going to be a problem because you don't have someone that can let a Holland know, this ain't going to be a walk in the park. And I'm trying to think, other than the big names, has DeVry been getting minutes back there at all?
I mean, from what I've seen as of like recently, not really. I mean, he had some, I don't know if he's injured or what's going on with him, but he hasn't really been in the back like he usually is. I mean, at the start of the season, I'm trying to think when was the last time he actually started was. Yeah, if I can't remember, it's probably been a while.
Yeah, so that's a problem because that's kind of an interesting idea because he's physically more powerful than the rest of the defense. But if he hasn't played for months, I don't think throwing him in the starting lineup in the Champions League finals could be a good idea. It's so complicated, you know? It's totally different because if Roma make it to the final tomorrow, regardless if it's Sevilla or Juve, there's a good pathway for them to win. And even if they're under underdogs in one of those in the final, if they get there, there's going to be a game plan that you can use against those teams. The problem with Man City is unless you have the type of players that can frustrate Haaland, it's going to be difficult. It's a complicated thing. But again, if you're at your best, you got a chance. But it does seem like a huge a challenge.
Hashtag biblical reference time. Hashtag David versus Goliath.
Yeah, it's exact. I mean, it's exactly what it is. I will be supporting Inter in the final because remember about a couple of years ago, I said Man City would not win a Champions League in 10 years. I kind of want to be right about that. And secondly, who did I pick at the beginning of the season to win the Champions League? Inter. And I also want to be right about that. And your fan base isn't doing what it's supposed to. So in a weird way, it's making you guys less unlikable. So if Inter wins the Champions League, it's not going to bother me until they celebrate and say, we've got a dynasty now. We're going to win 3 or 4. But until that happens, they're not displaying the obnoxious nature of Inter Milan fans. So I don't have a problem cheering for them. So I rarely cheer for Italian sides in the Champions League final. I'm not ashamed of that. And nobody can give me a legitimate reason why, as a Roma fan, I should cheer for a team I cheer against on the weekend. This is why I always go against the grain when it comes to, oh, we should just support our Italian sides. Yeah. So I'm as a Roma fan, I'm supposed to cheer for Juventus, Inter, and AC Milan, teams I want to drop points on Saturday. But on Tuesday, yeah, I'm going to cheer for them. Just doesn't make any fucking sense. And nobody has ever been able to give me a legitimate explanation for why they cheer for those teams. Now, if it's in the final, I get it. But if you're a particular fan, or if you're a neutral fan, you cheer for everybody, that's fine. But if you're a fan of a particular team and a particular rival of that team is in a final, why would you cheer for them? I mean, why would you cheer them anyways? So on and so forth. But I will cheer for Inter, and I think this kind of can save the fact that we didn't have a title race if you go in and win it, but... Yeah, easier said than done. Man City are not to be played with at all. I mean, they're tough, but in my opinion, I think. But the other thing is, you have a Coppa Italia final against Fiorentina. Again, you will be huge favorites for that. But again, I wouldn't sleep on them either. And so you can still come out of this season with making Champions League final, fourth to top three, top four, whatever the case may be. A Coppa Italia triumph, and again, maybe you win the final and you get a double, a cup, two cups. But then if you don't, at least I think there's still, you can still take some dignity from this season. So the reason I bring that up is I don't think it's the right move to cut Inzaghi at the legs, based on the fact that he just got you to a final. He got you to another Coppa Italia final. He got you beating Juventus, by the way. And then he got you to a Champions League final. And he's still going to finish in the top three, top four, at the very least. So as bad as it has been at times this season, I think I don't think it's time to cut bait yet.
To be honest, I don't care if I get slack for this, but I actually agree. I mean, he hasn't been the best this season, but he has helped us when we needed it the most. So you need to give him another season, and then depending on how next season goes, if they need to part ways, then now that would be the time to do it. But with what he's done this season, it's not time yet.
You know he's won more trophies than Conte at Inter.
What? Oh wait, hang on. No, because don't say anything. Accurate.
Because Conte just won the league, right? He won the cup. I don't think you won the Coppa Italia when Conte was there.
Maybe,
no, because you won last year. That was the first time in a long time. And then you if you win this year, that's two. I don't. Again, you can count the Super Cups. It's as meaningful as a piece of plastic. But so throw away the Super Cups, right? But drain them out, sell them off. Whatever, right? So it's two Coppa Italia. Conte just has the one league. Now, the one league is probably more valuable than everything else that's happened, but he's getting you to a Champions League final, potentially two Coppa Italias, and then two Super Cups that have a little asterisk, not asterisk, but like, you know, it's not a trophy that's taken seriously. Most fans who won a Community Shield or a Super Coppa or whatever they have in France or whatever they have in Germany, whatever. Most fans as fan bases do not count that as there. In my life, I've seen this. They just kind of throw those out because they don't actually – it's a one-game thing. You only have to win one game. And, yeah, it's a nice trophy to have, but it's – again. But Conte won you the league. Probably could have won the league the year before but messed it up for wasn't good enough for most of the season. So he's won the league. And Inzaghi has – well, hold on. I guess he needs to win the Coppa Italia. But if he wins the Coppa Italia, he will have won more trophies than Conte. And oddly, the manager you need to hire is, Antonio Inzaghi. you need Conte for the league, and you need Inzaghi for Europe.
That's the best. #Hashtag dual managers, let's go.
I saw Uncle Charmin on Twitter. This was a while ago, but he had a picture of their faces like blended together. because it was
hilarious. I actually would love that. Actually, not gonna lie, that would be crazy.
Yeah, but I think he's done enough to do it.
I've actually determined what I'm gonna do if we win. I'm actually going to get myself one of the most expensive items seen on the Inter Milan website, a nice $195 Inter Milan watch.
Nice.
Either way, I'm going to save up and get it anyway at some point. It's just like, it'd be cool to have a reason why I got it, though.
Yeah, it's a good point. But yeah, it's interesting to see what will happen here. I think, even if you lose, you made the fucking Champions League final. Just don't humiliate yourself either.
One of my friends just messaged me where I get all my skulls from. He's a Juventus supporter, and then he also has a tendency of liking Liverpool and Real Madrid, so that's weird. But he says, congrats on the final. I'll totally want Inter to win. I can't stand Pep. Think he's an amazing coach, but he's always on the rival team.
Wait, he supports who?
Real Madrid, Liverpool, and Juventus.
What's his first team?
I have no idea. I have to ask.
If it's Juve, then he can't support them anymore. No Juve, again. Nico is Nico, but no Juve fan is allowed to support Inter in the final. I don't care if you hate Man City. You have to cheer for them to fall, crumble, and collapse. Honestly. You know what I mean? So it's just you can't be doing that. But yeah, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think the clowns who just support. Again, I don't want to give that to the. It's an Italian team, so I guess let's support. I'm just going to support them because for no reason. I just want someone to explain to me one time what kind of sense that makes. If I hate Juve, if I play Juve on Thursday, or sorry, on Saturday, and then play them, and then they play a game in Europe on Tuesday, why would I want them to win? I'm going to get riled up about that. But somebody needs to explain how that makes any sense.
I don't get it either. Like, I understand, like, I mean, for me personally, I would never support anybody, but do I want to see Italian teams do well in these competitions? Absolutely. But does that mean I'm going to go out of my way to support them? Absolutely not. If they do well.
I think you should support Italian teams in Europe that you like by itself. But you shouldn't support an Italian team that you either are indifferent about or don't like. So in Europe, I will support AC Milan. I will support Atlanta. I'll support Fiorentina. I'll support the only teams I really wouldn't support in Europe are Juve, Napoli, and Lazio. But I hesitated there because they're never in an important European game. So
Lazio.
But I normally would not cheer for you either. I wanted you to get blown out every time, but because it's the final, it's cuz against Man City and I just would rather them not win the Champions League, to be honest with you. So that's why I would cheer for Inter. But if Inter was playing Bayern, I'd be cheering for Bayern all the way through. you know what I mean? So there's certain teams I'm not going to cheer for in Europe, and I don't think someone that cheers for a team that is a rival of another team that's in Europe, like, I'm not talking direct rivals, but Roma fans should not be cheering for Napoli in the Champions League. And you should not be cheering for you have AC Milan and Juve, but you shouldn't be cheering for Roma in Europe either. Now, Roma and Inter are not a direct rivalry, but there is tension there. So
I mean, for me, like, I understand the tension because you were around during that tension. So I really don't claim that because I got into the sport like way later, so I didn't really understand that. So for me, I can't claim that.
Spalletti, though.
I really don't claim that, though. So, like, there's only, like, besides Inter, I want your boys to do well, and I also want to see Atalanta, and that's pretty much it.
I would cheer for Atalanta last year, but not this year. Not because I don't like Atalanta. I actually really do like Atalanta as a club and what they've done. I think it's amazing. But I'm just not a fan of let's tackle to hurt. Again, that's what it felt like. And again, in the first game we had against Atalanta, we had a bunch of penalties that weren't given. Not one of them was given. But most of the time I'll cheer for any of the teams except the ones I just don't like. But it's like, if you do that, people judge you for like not cheering for the Italian sides. Like, yeah. So you're going to support Rome on the weekend, are you? Okay, then shut up.
Literally, it's like that the black guy where he does like the twist his head. It's a question mark.
Yeah, so it's just like, I don't know. I just think it's strange. I don't know why we're still talking about this.
I don't know.
Anyway, so what did you think of the? I guess we should go through the semifinal stuff. What were your thoughts over the two legs of the Milan semifinal?
I mean, the first leg we did really well, and I mean, getting that comfortable 2-goal lead, which is something that Inter really needed to do, and they did just that. But then in the second leg, obviously, they had the majority of the shots, whereas AC Milan has had a struggle of being able to create like multiple opportunities and even have had issues finding like the target. Well, that had really played in our favor because for Inter, they were just firing on all cylinders trying to get that potential third goal to solidify it, because there was no way, based on our defense, that AC Milan was going to find the back of the net. There was no way. That's because
we weren't going to take risks going forward either. That's kind of the point. You had that two-goal lead, and to be honest, you probably should have won by 4 or 5 in that first game. I mean, no Leal. The defense was looking like junior high defending. And Magnan kept out a couple close calls there, but you know, obviously, and then second, like, you just kind of, I'll be honest, you kind of just took the foot off the gas. You didn't really, you had opportunities, of course, but yeah, you didn't really mess around and do what is, risky. They took risks and you just didn't feel like pouncing on it, kind of.
Yeah, and I mean, has anybody heard from King Charles? Is he still playing in the midfield?
He probably doesn't play at all now.
Oh God!
You know what I want in the summer for Roma? We're gonna sign Mbappe and play him at center back.
Exactly. I mean, like,
poor Mbappe. But I'm just saying it. And then Maldini came out and said, oh, we could have signed Dybala, but he wasn't right for our project, so we backed out.
Hang on. Go back to your spot, Nebuchadnezzar, my Mbappe. Go on. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the Maldini stuff was wild. Dude, if you didn't sign Dybala, you didn't sign Dybala. Don't come out months later saying, oh, we could have signed Dybala, but he wasn't right for project. What exactly is your project? Trying to get humiliated by your rivals and trying to not make the Champions League, because that looks like what your project is. You know, if Roma finished sixth, we have a good chance of making a Europa League final and winning it. So I just thought it was a silly comment to make. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, but we did what was needed, so obviously we are in the final. And then on the flip side, I mean, you had a really tight-knit first leg with Man City versus Real Madrid, both teams getting a goal from that one. Both teams played fairly evenly throughout, with Man City having the slight edge, but it was still pretty much...
In the first game, it was even. The second game, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, and then obviously today... It was the second leg, and the approach that Real Madrid was taking was definitely the wrong one, and they got exposed, and then Man City, we all know what happened. Man City ran roughshod all over them, and they punched their ticket to the final, but, I mean, overall, both of these, literally, besides the Inter one, Real Madrid versus Man City was the only one that could have gone either way if the tactics were the same as it was in the first between those with those sides.
I mean, Brian's boy Don Carlo messed up by benching Rudiger. That was so stupid.
Yeah, but if they had stuck to the similar tactics as they did in the first go around, this could have been either one we would have been getting. So,
yeah, I agree.
But I mean, overall, it's been an exciting run, and no matter what happens, I am proud of my boys for making it this far, and especially to those in, obviously, especially with my fan base. And I will admit my faults on this one. Even after putting them down so many times, thinking that they weren't going to make it, and just to see them really shut me up. And this is really bringing back the pride that I have for this club. So, regardless of what happens, I'm just happy to be an Inter Milan supporter. And I do not regret choosing the Nerazzurri as my home all those 8 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, of course not. I mean, it's kind of gone your way. I mean, let's be honest. You've had difficulties. Your horrible season was finishing fourth. You've never been humiliated since I looked it up the other day. In the 8 years you've supported the club, you've been beaten, but you haven't been embarrassed over that time. So I hope you win the final, but I hope next year someone just fucking annihilates you, because every fan needs that to happen one time in their life.
Wait a minute. Are you saying ever since I started supporting the club, there's never really been
not that's humiliation. Insane. Like maybe I think the worst I saw was maybe 3-0. I don't even think it was a 4-0. And 3-0 is a loss, but it's not humiliating the way, I don't know, a 7-1 is, a 6-1 is, a, what was it, 8-2 is. And by the way, those are Roma games from the last 3 years, not the last 8 years. So
I mean, no. That's insane. When I started supporting the club, things changed. Maybe I was the luck. I don't know.
I mean, Inter were in a fairly good spot that season. Now, you kind of came in midway through, but the year before they finished like sixth. But I think ever since, I think you've been fourth and above every. Again, it's not your fault. But it's not like you picked Sampdoria. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was no way. Yeah, Sampdoria. RIP.
Yeah, they're not going to exist in like 3 years, I'm afraid of. Because
so you're thinking they're going to go the way of, what was the team?
Hellas Verona. I think that might dissolve. Because unless someone buys them in the next year, they're in trouble. Because, I mean, that's something we should talk about anyway. Because, you know, your financial situation that you're in?
Yeah, theirs is way worse.
Imagine that 10 times worse. That's Sampdoria. And again, all they had to do was not be broke and sign good players, but all they had to do is not get relegated. And because guess who's coming back up? Little Genoa coming back up to Serie A.
Man, we're not going to get a derby again. Damn it.
So we have Genoa and we have Frosinone, who was briefly in Serie A a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's one more spot left. I hope it's Parma, personally.
Oh, come on, Parma.
There's a few others. Cagliari's in the mix as well.
Oh.
I think it'd be great to have Bari back in Serie A.
When was the last time, though? I've never heard of Bari, so when was the last time they were in Serie A?
Bari was in Serie A when Cassano, before Antonio Cassano, you know what I'm talking about, the dumbest person on the planet, before he joined Roma. So he had signed, he was with Bari the couple years prior. When Bari was in Serie A fairly often, they weren't ever doing anything great, but they were a bottom level team for a couple years. I don't remember how many, but there was definitely years of Bari coming back, but, yeah, I like Bari, but I'd never had like an emotional connection. The team I want back is Catania, but Catania is in the third division. Remember Brescia?
Oh, was in Serie A.
They got relegated. Spal got relegated.
Oh,
De Rossi's coaching career has not got off to the best start. Already a relegation on the resume, unfortunately.
How about your favorite dudes with the dope kits?
I don't think they got relegated, but I don't think they did that well. With the same story, thing's sad though, because I don't know what they're going to do. Someone needs to buy them, or they're going to slowly fall apart. Again, I think it's players are going to leave. That's the other thing. Players are going to leave there. I think they're going to struggle to stay up next season too in the third division. It's just sad because when you think of that derby, it's colorful. It's unfortunate that we're not going to be able to see that at least. And again, you don't know that much history about these two, but at least Hamburg and St. Pauli are both in the second division in Germany together. Because obviously Parma or not Parma, because of course Hamburg are going to try to throw it away for a third season in a row, unfortunately. They could still get promoted through automatic promotion because there's 1 point between them and the team in front of them. But Darmstadt is coming up in Germany because if they just have to win their next game and they'll get promoted. There's only 2 games left there as well.
Man, this tells me I need to go win at least $1 billion and then buy Sampdoria.
Yeah, first you got to get the $1 billion. And I don't think Sampdoria would cost $1 billion. It's not valued at a huge sum. Like, for example.
Yeah, that's the point. You buy it and then you work on building the team.
Yeah, but you would need like at least how much? Let me just try to estimate. Sampdoria probably cost you $80 million, so that's it's not cheap. If you want the easiest route to ownership, then buy Lecce or Spezia, because I swear those two teams are like under 80. I think they're like one of them's like 50. It's like evaluated at like 50 odd million. And then obviously the others is around that area. So they're down. Who else? Cremonese is obviously going to be relegated as well. And then there's one last spot for somebody, either Spezia or, I forgot who the other team is, or Verona. I think Verona are going to go down. I think Spezia will get enough points the last couple weeks of the season and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, so there's going to be some moving parts. The Bundesliga is coming down to the wire at the end of the season. Everybody get your Leipzig gear on. Drink Red Bull this weekend, you know.
I don't drink Red Bull. Ew.
What would you rather do? Drink Red Bull or Bayern win the league again?
I will support Leipzig, but not during the trash bowl. Ugh.
We all have to. Okay, then you can. Okay, then you have to buy a Leipzig jersey or buy a Leipzig headband. Everybody has to be in on Leipzig, or else these fucking clowns are. Again, I used to love Bayern until literally. I mean, remember when there was a player of the season race between Brandt and Musiala when it was back and forth. Thomas Tuchel came in and said, "You know what? Nah, you're good. You don't need to win individual awards. You're just gonna kind of wished away. And when you start to play well again, it will be too far out of your reach." It was so close, and then within weeks, it was over.
because the board said, "We can't continue with Nagelsmann. We're gonna bring in this guy."
I mean, Tuchel's a good manager, but the board is mostly responsible, but Tuchel didn't know how to operate through this team. And if you look at the impact and the changes that have been made since and around then, it's just, but again, they're still, because Dortmund are still fucking Dortmund and they have to choke a bit. They now need Leipzig to bail them out of jail. I hope they do. I think Leipzig they've been in a good moment at the recently. They just won at in the last minute on the weekend, and unfortunately, Schalke not only didn't help themselves, didn't help Dortmund, but also got absolutely railed this weekend. So I think I personally think it all comes down to Leipzig. If they don't beat Leipzig, then there's an opportunity for Dortmund. If Leipzig lose that game, I think it's over. What do you think about that? Well, I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, that seems pretty fair, to be honest with you, because Dortmund usually around this time you can go out and say silence those haters by saying no, we're not the team that you are accustomed to seeing and beat Leipzig and stuff or whoever they're facing or whatever's going on with that. They should have no issues, but if they choke, then it's all. Well,
Dortmund's already choked. That's why they're not in first. They need Leipzig to beat. My point is, if Leipzig don't beat Bayern, then it's likely that Bayern will win their last game, And if Bayern win the last game, then Dortmund can't win the league. So I think Dortmund's entire season hinges on whether or not that Leipzig beats Bayern Munich this weekend. Because if they beat Leipzig, I don't think they're going to lose to the next. I mean, they could. But Dortmund, again, it's set up in such a creepy, bad way. Because if Leipzig beat Dortmund, then Dortmund at the last game of the season have to go away to Mainz. And I know Mainz have lost their last couple games. But, you know, teams don't go there and do what they did to Gladbach and Wolfsburg. I mean, the Dortmund scored like 9 goals in the last 2 games or something like that. But anyway, my point is that if Leipzig don't beat a Bayern, or actually a draw would do good enough. If they don't draw or beat Bayern Munich, I think Dortmund has almost no chance of winning the league. But then you never know. But Bayern will drop a dud the last game of the season, which would be hilarious. But anyway.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think that's good. That was weird episode, but fair enough.
All right. As we all know, we'll see you guys on the next one.